Welcome back into the Daft on Draft podcast. Again, I am your host, Corey Kinnon, fake Corey Kinnon on Twitter. If you are an avid listener, please, please, please go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, however you're listening, watching, subscribe, like, leave a review if you have one. Call us idiots, call us morons for not liking Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks as much as other people do. Do what you got to do, but we love feedback. We love subscriptions. So do that if you have a chance. Again, today we are finishing out our first round mock. So last episode we did picks 1 through 16. So if you're listening to this without listening to that episode first, this would probably like make a lot more sense to go back and listen to that first episode first before starting up on pick 17. So, but before we dive back in, Dalton, we heard your voice. Welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing today? This evening for you, I guess. Yeah.
I'm fantastic. Got a little thing later to set up. I'm trying to learn Portuguese. So we have a meeting with the, you know, a teacher or whatever to see if we're a good fit for the class. So it a very interesting process. We have to interview for this class, but I am doing well. You can also follow me at Dalton B. Miller on TikTok. I will be giving you all of my NFL draft shit posting over there as well. Because like, there's a lot of stuff. Twitter is fantastic, but Twitter is a terrible medium for getting video content out.
Yes.
And I want to like do like quick breakdowns and stuff. And so I'm doing quick little breakdowns and kind of just like shit posting NFL draft takes over there as well. So follow me at Dalton B. Miller on TikTok as well, the Clock app.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So I actually haven't got on the Clock app these days. I might avoid that one like the plague, though. Personally, I might not even dive into that. But hey, I love it. I love it.
Honestly, Corey, I think, and we might be able to talk about this a little bit more off air. But I think you would. I think you would be okay with it. I think you could figure it out because I held off for years from getting on it on TikTok. My wife has always been on it. I fought it for a long time, but if you get into the right niche, if your algorithm gets right, it's a really impressive app. Anyways, let's get to pick 17 after we recap what happened. Picks 1 through 16.
I love it. Let's get it. So, yeah, starting out again, draft order here is not the tankathon draft order based on record yet. We're using PFN's mock draft simulator, and PFN is using Super Bowl odds up until about the midway point of the season.
I believe that's how that we did it, yeah. And I believe that's how they're still doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, the draft order, if it were today, I think the Browns would be picking like second overall or something like that, and Carolina wouldn't be picking first right now. But that's how we're sitting. And so using those Super Bowl odds, we're sitting with Carolina having the first overall pick. We had them going with a new quarterback in Shedeur Sanders. Second overall, Patriots to Luther Burden getting Drake May a weapon, making his first start this weekend. That's going to be interesting. Third overall,
what a decision! On that, by the way, to do that against the Texans this week, throwing him to the wolves.
So here's the thing with Alex Van Pelt coming from a Kevin Stefanski system, from a Kubiak-ish system, you should say. Then I guess is.
Yeah,
I think there's reason to be a little bit optimistic that they might be able to scheme ways to get Drake May the ball out of Drake May's hand pretty quickly and maybe scheme up some play action looks. And Hunter Henry might have a pretty freaking good week based off of maybe if Van Pelt can kind of do the same things that Stefanski was able to do with Brissett back in 2022 and some of the stuff with Baker Mayfield in 2020 and things like that. But third overall, Cleveland Browns, again, my Cleveland Browns, I would have had Shedeur Sanders going there if I didn't have Shedeur going first overall. Instead, we're going to go with the first offensive tackle off the board with Cam Williams, the offensive tackle that Dalton and I have both agreed on, is really the only one in the class that has legitimate OT1 tools, OT1 body type. So maybe a little bit of a reach at this point in the draft process, but I think more towards consensus by the end of the cycle. Fourth overall, Raiders, Mason Graham, defensive tackle from Michigan. Fifth overall, Travis Hunter to the Jaguars. Sixth overall, Will Johnson to the Rams. Seventh overall, Tet McMillan to the Titans. Eighth overall, Will Campbell, offensive tackle guard, however you want to look at him, to the Giants. Ninth, Kelvin Banks Jr., kind of the same build as Will Campbell, to the Dolphins. 10th, Isaiah Bond, upgrading the wide receiver room in Denver. 11th, the Colts get their corner that they desperately need in Benjamin Morrison, Notre Dame corner. 12th overall, Abdul Carter to the Cardinals. 13th overall, Jim Harbaugh going full Jim Harbaugh and selecting Ashton Janti, running back out of Boise State. 14th overall, Mike Hale Williams to the Bears, upgrading their pass rusher there. 15th overall, Emory Jones Jr. to the Seahawks, giving them a bookend with Charles Cross. 16th overall is the landing spot for perhaps maybe the best player in the draft, but positional value here, Malachi Starks to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 16th overall. And that takes us to the 17th overall pick, the New Orleans Saints. The Saints need an edge rusher so bad. So bad. Isaiah Foskey, not very good. Peyton Turner, not very good.
I'm so sad about that still.
I know, me too. I loved Peyton Turner coming out of Houston. Cam Jordan getting up there in age. They got lucky on the Granderson kid out of Wyoming, who had some off the field stuff, and he fell to them in day three. And he's a pretty good player. He's a pretty good player, but outside of that, boy, they are looking rough off the edge here. And looking at the body types of the edge rushers as well, it's pretty obvious. And Dennis Allen could get fired, so this could change by the time we get to the draft. But Dennis Allen likes those big body edges, man.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think James Pierce is the best fit for New Orleans if we're talking about the type of edge rusher that they want to go after. However, the 6'4" and 280-pound Texas A&M edge rusher Nix Thornton is.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a pretty good landing spot. Again, assuming Dennis Allen keeps his job.
Yeah, this is about the most obvious pick in a mock draft that you can have.
It just
makes way too much sense given what they like on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. So Nix Thornton, Texas A&M to the Saints right here, 17th overall.
At number 18, the Washington Commanders. This one is another pretty easy one when it comes to cornerbacks. They need a cornerback. That is what they need.
And maybe not one that's 160 pounds soaking wet.
And maybe not one that is 160 pounds soaking wet. I would love to go with Siobhan Revel, but I don't know if Revel is going to go this high at this point because of the ACL. Obviously a fantastic talent, very, very long player, great athlete, but I don't know if he goes this high. I have very much fallen in love with Willie III here recently, but that's too high for him as well. I have been very, very down with Dakario Davis since this summer. I love Denzel Burke, but I think I'm going to go with Davis here because if they do like anything in Washington, if Dan Quinn keeps his job, which obviously he will keep his job, if they have anything close to the success that they've been having, I mean, they would have to fall off and really, you know, kind of lose the locker room in a horrific way for that to implode. He's going to love that length from Dakario Davis.
He's a Legion of Boom type corner. It's like Richard Sherman, Brandon Browner type corners back in the day when he was the defensive coordinator in Seattle.
Yep.
That's the kind of corner that Dakario Davis is here right here for Dan Campbell. I love that. I love that. Pittsburgh Steelers. So the Steelers need a lot, dude. They need a wide receiver. They need a corner. They need a quarterback. They need a. Is this a spot where.
Is there a wide receiver with character concerns coming out right now?
I could find one for you. I could probably dig one up.
Because that's who we can circle going to
that.
On
day two, and this like the second or third round. Yeah, that's the way they go. I don't want to go wide receiver here, mainly because like I like Emeka Egbuka, but like the lack of a high end trait here concerns me if it's not the back end of the first round. Like I think if the Steelers traded back here, but do you know what I do love here? We know that I heard that Mike Tomlin was a big Malik Willis fan back the year that they ended up picking Kenny Pickett, which was not his decision. This could be a spot where we take a little high end, like a boomer bust quarterback here, and you hope to stick him in a locker room here. The question is, which one do I take, though?
I think if you're bringing Malik Willis,
Yeah, that's true. I got to go with Cam Ward.
Right? I think there's one that fits better than another.
Cam Ward, man. And this is definitely the most boomer bust pick we've made this entire mock draft here. But let's have an honest conversation about Justin Fields and Russell Wills. Neither of those guys are going to be on that roster next year. And if Fields is, it's going to be as a bridge / backup. Like that's the case there. They need a quarterback desperately. There are a few head coaches that I think might be able to tolerate. And not so much. This is a conversation to have about Shador and Cam Ward. Neither of them have off the field concerns. Neither of them have character concerns. There is legitimate concerns about maybe some maturity / ego concerns as the head.
Personality concerns. Personality. More than anything is the way that I would put it. And
yes,
that's something that I have heard. And I'm not as plugged in with scouting circles as you are or as a lot of guys are. But it's trickled down to me over the past couple of years about Cam Ward.
Yeah.
And so it goes to show, and I've really enjoyed watching Cam Ward this year in Miami. He's been a ton of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. But the lack of growth from the mental side of things from him, there might be a reason for that. From what I have been hearing.
Yeah. And so maybe throwing him in a locker room with George Pickens isn't the best idea in the world, but you know what?
Pickens is still there.
Well, that's true. Pickens might be gone by the trade deadline. But if there's one head coach that I think this could work with, Mike Tomlin is probably that head coach. So let's do it. Assuming Mike Tomlin, who doesn't get fed up, and I think we almost got to that breaking point last year with him, but let's go Cam Ward with the Pittsburgh Steelers right here.
Let's do it. I already made that pick, obviously. The Bengals. It's tough to know exactly what the Bengals are going to need next year. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My hot take is, I don't think it's a hot take. They're going to pony up and pay both those guys. I think they're going to pony up and pay both of them. I think they have to.
He's so good.
And I think that
he is so good. Like, and Chase is obviously one of the best in the NFL, but I legitimately think if T. Higgins is able to stay healthy, he is like on that low end of wide receiver one, like legitimate wide receiver one as a talent.
Low end wide receiver one, high end wide receiver two, top end wide receiver.
Yeah, top end wide receiver two in the NFL.
I also think, and I don't want to spoil your pick or like influence your pick, but I also think that means we already saw concessions on the defensive side of the ball for them. They let DJ Reader walk, and their defensive tackle room is terrible. They have another high-end edge rusher that I think they're going to have to make a concession on because I don't think they have a choice but to pay both of their wide receivers.
Yeah.
But I don't want to influence that. I don't say that to influence your pick and I'm going to let you do your thing, but I just think they're going to pay both those guys.
Yeah. No, it's not really that much of an influence. I know where I want to go with this, but when I look at what they have done at the position, first of all, it is very much a position that I don't love taking in the first round anyways, but it is one that they haven't really figured out in Cincinnati. I think that this player is somebody that they would really like. I don't like him as much. I would go with the more well-rounded guy at tight end. But Colston Loveland playing as that big slot in Cincy, they have Mike Gesicki right now. They have had guys like Hayden Hurst, like these like move tight ends, you know, and they haven't really paid any of these guys much money at all. They've kind of just been picking up scraps. But I do really think that having a legitimate weapon over the middle of the field, a real safety blanket, could be a huge, huge plus for the Cincinnati Bengals. And so it's so tough because the Bengals always draft like a year ahead. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it might be an edge pick here. My issue is I don't know what edge I would probably go with. I haven't watched enough of James Pierce to know if I love him that much yet. Somebody I do love, and who I don't think is getting talked about enough, and somebody who is starting to really turn it on, he got a helmet sticker from me this week, and that is Landon Jackson from Arkansas. Big, 272 pounds, 6 foot six, somebody who I think could kind of take over as that edge two role with legitimate pass rush edge one upside before them in the near future. I'm gonna go with it. It's a reach, but I also think trying to bolster up the defensive front is a better idea than drafting either Colston Loveland or Gunnar Helm.
I can dig it. I think I would have gone with James Pierce because of Trey Hendrickson's contract expiring, and I think that's a concession they're gonna have to make. And Pierce's outside ability and bend matches what Hendrickson probably does more for them. But I don't necessarily hate the Jack and Jackson bends, like you pointed out last year. Jackson can bend at 6 foot five to 74, whatever he's listed at, or like whatever he's verified at. All right, Atlanta. I'm gonna try to find the next 26-year-old quarterback to take in the first round here.
Atlanta is all about taking weapons, taking weapons that you're never gonna actually use.
Yeah. Atlanta's quarterback room, they're starting a former first round pick from years ago, Mike Hughes, at corner right now, outside corner. That's pretty abysmal.
A long time ago.
And then their nickel is D. Alford, who's been around a while, but I think Clark Phillips could probably play nickel for them in a long term.
Yeah.
I think that nickel's, and I'm not taking a nickel in the first round, obviously. I mean, you could look at Jake Matthews as well, who's getting up there in age, and you could say offensive tackles could be a need here as well. Their guard player is really nice.
Yeah.
You could swap out Kyle Pitts for Colston Loveland if you wanted to.
Or they might want a real tight end.
That's true. We'll go Gunnar Helm. But I look at their pass rushers, man, and their corners. Their pass rushers right now, Matthew Judon is in a contract year. Arnold Ebiketie hasn't really worked out for them. Lorenzo Carter is a pretty freaking decent player, though. They lack juice off edge. So James Pierce could be a good fit here, too. But that corner situation really freaks me out. But maybe we look at best player available, and that would be James Pierce. I could go Revel here. But again, the torn ACL is an issue. But if they're not afraid to take players that aren't going to play in a year, and I think Revel will play by the start of the season anyway.
Yeah, I think so too.
Man, getting AJ Terrell a running mate. And obviously, I think they traded for Judon with the intention that they're going to get something done there. But he's in his 30s too, so you don't bank on that.
Yep.
Let's go James Pierce.
All right.
High-end pass rusher. I really wanted to go Revel potentially, but let's go James Pierce.
We're going wide receiver here. The Dallas Cowboys are going wide receiver. Defensive tackle could be another fit here as well. Obviously, the Cowboys fans one-on-one technique, and you're looking at guys like Kenneth Grant who can play that position. But I think that we're seeing Mozzie play better. He's still not where you want him to be as a former first-round pick. And then you also have to look at the taco history. So even a player like Kenneth Grant wearing those colors coming from Michigan as a first rounder on the defensive line to the Dallas Cowboys is something that fans are going to absolutely hate 100%. So I think when you're looking at this football team, you're looking at wide receiver. I just don't know what wide receiver to take here because Amika can play on the outside. But I think he would be best with the two-way go on the inside, and that is solely where CeeDee Lamb is. That is where you want CeeDee Lamb. You want him in the slot. And so for me, you're looking more on the outside. And then who are you looking at? Evan Stewart, a little bit undersized, but he's got that downfield juice that you really, really like. I think when I look at this wide receiver class, want somebody who I think can come in and be a professional wide receiver immediately and play the X position and get a lot of the targets that CeeDee Lamb is not getting. So being a little bit of a target hog, having a big body, 6 foot two, maybe 210 pounds, maybe, close to, if not leading the FBS in receiving. The more I talked about it, the easier it got for me to pick Trey Harris, who maybe not a first rounder when I was looking into it this year, but I don't know why I wasn't looking at him as a potential first rounder, because I think you and I both loved his tape. And I just thought, it's Ole Miss. That offense is weird.
He doesn't have that long speed juice either. He's probably a 4.50 to 4.53 kind of guy. But so is CeeDee Lamb. But CeeDee Lamb's obviously a lot quicker.
Yeah, obviously. And I thought about Alec Aiyemenor as well here. I like both of those guys. I just think Trey Harris, for what fits Dak Prescott the best, is what would be best here.
Yeah. I love it. Man, the Jets are a tough team, dude. They just drafted Olufashanu. He's playing right tackle for him now. Does Tyron Smith hang in there for more than a year in New York?
He's not been very good, and he's never healthy.
And Morgan Moses is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so they could honestly draft another offensive tackle this year.
Yes, they could.
But I also don't love the tackles that are left on the board in this class. Jonas Savainai would be the next one off the board.
And Simmons? But
Josh Simmons would be, I mean, he's playing pretty well, but I want to see Josh. Let's talk about Josh Simmons after this Oregon game against Jordan Bird.
That's what I was going to say. I want to see what happens when they get into Big Ten play, and he's got to play some real edge competition.
So I don't love the board at offensive tackle here.
Here's the thing about drafting in the back end of the first round in this draft class is I don't think we're going to like much of anything that we have to choose from here. That's just the way that this class gives.
Aaron Rodgers also doesn't have a contract yet this year. Aaron Rodgers also hasn't been very good this year.
Oh.
They also don't. But Tyler Conklin is their starting tight end.
And if Rodgers is gone, Hackett's gone. Which means you're getting a new offense in there as well.
And Garrett Wilson is unhappy, vocally unhappy. And they also don't have, they're hunting Davante Adams right now. We could be talking about wide receiver. Oh, geez. This team, it's boom or bust this year. And so far it's bust, because next year their team's not going to be very good.
Yeah. They're boom or bust this year, and they just fired their head coach. Yeah. So.
And every need is on the offensive side of the ball right now for them. Jeez, oh, Pete. Oh, my God. What do I do here? I'm panic picking, and I kind of just want to pick Jalen Milroe.
I kind of want to pick Jalen Milroe for you.
I think I'm going to pick Jalen Milroe, dude. The only issue is his development this year
has been insane.
It has been. His eyes are amazing. What he's doing in structure is awesome. And then you throw in that he probably runs a 4.3.
Yeah.
On top of that.
And he's like 215 pounds. Like, he's not small either. He's well built.
My biggest concern about this is if you have so much influx offensively, like potentially a new offensive coordinator, potentially a new wide receiver, because Garrett Wilson can very honestly ask for the demand trade this offseason.
Yeah.
He has been disgruntled vocally this year. You might need to, and he's the only wide receiver on the roster under contract beyond this year that is worth it to him. Anyway, they don't have a tight end. We're talking about offensive tackles, a huge need. They lack premium positions around a quarterback, so I'm pretty skeptical about taking a quarterback here. But again, talking about Emeka Egbuka, probably the best receiver on the board right now. Again, lacks a high end trait. We don't have an offensive tackle that I really feel comfortable taking here, because again, Savainai is kind of a tweener. But I mean, he's played right tackle, left tackle, and right guard, so you can take him and feel pretty good about that. And maybe I should have done that. Let's just take the quarterback.
Jalen Milroe. It is.
I don't feel good about Jordan Travis being the future starter of that team.
No.
So take the quarterback.
Yep. All right. Quarterback, it is the Green Bay Packers. Now, I should have talked to Brian about this, because Brian knows every single one of
tell you exactly what Packers fans are absolutely upset about right now.
What?
They cannot get any pressure off the edge.
Yeah.
That's their big thing right now. But also, we picked all the good edge rushers right now.
Yeah, because what have we seen from Princely this year?
You could take a reach on a guy who's 112 on PFN's board, but is playing pretty decent football.
And he's a bigger edge rusher, which Green Bay seems to really follow Not specifically on the edge. I don't know for sure, but they have specific size and athletic measurements that they really like. So somebody like LT Overton, obviously it's not in here, but he is like a legitimate 275 pounds as well. Shamar Turner is another guy who I like quite a bit at Texas A&M, another big edge rusher who has good athleticism on the outside. So you're right. We could go, you know, kind of that route. What are they looking at defensive tackle? I mean, that's
Kenny Clark's getting up there. Devontae Wyatt, I don't think, has been tremendous for them.
Yeah.
After being picked in the first round. I think they can have the luxury that Lucas Van Ness can actually play inside better than he can play on the edge, I think, which helps out a little bit. But then you got Colby Wooden and TJ Slayton as their rotational defensive. And Carl Brooks has been pretty decent. But I think Carl Brooks is like one of the very few players who have gotten a sack for them this season so far. So defensive tackle could be a pretty big option here too for him.
Yeah, let's... let's go with Tyleek here. Let's go with Tyleek. I haven't watched. I loved his tape last year. I was really actually kind of surprised he didn't declare last year. I thought he might be the better of the defensive tackles on that team, and I really like the other one. But I am really excited once they get, again, I haven't watched any Ohio State tape this year because they just haven't played anybody.
Right.
I will watch them this week. I will watch every single draftable player on their team to get a little bit of an update on how I feel about these guys. But I'm going to go Williams here on the defensive line.
I like it. Especially, I don't think Deion Walker's been overly impressive. I think he's starting to turn it on a little bit, but I think he's really freaking high. His pad level's terrible. His pad level's
high. He's 340 pounds, but he has no ass. Mm. He is naturally has a pretty good anchor, but I tend to be weary of defensive linemen who very visibly have flat ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because where's your power coming from?
And then Kenneth Walker's kind of the opposite of that as well. Kenneth Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of the opposite of that as well, where I think he has really good explosiveness and juice, but like I question how much of an impact he's going to make on third down at the NFL level.
Yeah, I think you see it for them a lot. They take him off the field on obvious passing downs quite a bit. I think there was one or two pass rush reps towards the end of one of their games. I can't remember which one it was where he showed some flash, but it's very, very few and far between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Buffalo.
They just extended their right tackle. Deion Dawkins is pretty locked in there. Interior offensive line could be, but I think they like Cedric Van Praan long term, even though he's a day three pick. Left guard, David Edwards. Again. I look at wide receiver. I mean, they took Keon Coleman with the first pick in the second round this year, and he's probably their best X. Their best outside receiver. Khalil Shakir's been doing some nice stuff in the slot for him and in space for him this year.
Yeah, it needs to be healthy, but yeah.
Yeah, wide receiver's a huge, huge need still. I really don't love their edge rush depth. They have Rousseau, who's been a lot better pro than I thought he was going to be coming out of Miami, to be honest.
Yes.
Epinesa's fine, but I don't know if you're fine with Epinesa as your starter opposite of Rousseau, because they're both kind of big end body types. I think maybe you'd want somebody a little more springy opposite Rousseau. And then I don't love the depth behind them. Defensive tackle as well. Ed Oliver's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Daquan Jones is getting up there in age, though. And then your depth behind him is, again, questionable. Their linebacker room is really bad. Matt Milano can't stay healthy. Matt Milano's awesome. But 2 years in a row now, he's been pretty hurt. I like Dorian Williams at will. I really do. Terrell Bernard is not a starting Mike linebacker, in my opinion. Their safety room is also pretty bad. But again, Malachi Starks is the only safety I'd consider in the first round. And then the corner is fine. I think you could take a high-end corner here as well for him. So especially back in the first end, this would be a good spot for Revel.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go linebacker for them because, again, I don't love the wide receivers. I think Amika Ibuka can play on the outside. Evan Stewart is explosive, but Evan
the problem is that there's not a number one, and what they really need there is a legitimate number one.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm gonna go with the linebacker. I'm gonna go with the guy who's 87th on PFN's board. Again, it's probably worth a disclaimer that, like, just because they're low on PFN's board doesn't mean this is where the consensus is at or where they're capable of going.
We have no clue how long it's been since the board was updated.
Right. We don't know. I'm going to go Jahad Campbell, Alabama linebacker here to Buffalo with the 27th pick. A legitimate 6'3", 230. So a big, big dude. And he can backpedal so smoothly. He baited Carson Beck in that George game for that pick. I think his eyes could be a little bit better, but he gets downhill. He's explosive, and he can backpedal. And I think that's huge at the NFL level. So let's go Jahad Campbell to Buffalo.
Yeah, and now let's look at the Philadelphia Eagles here. And, man.
This is a pretty bad football team on paper, outside of wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of is.
And running back.
Yeah, because Saquon Barkley has been fantastic for them. Yeah. And they picked up Will Shipley, so they have in the fourth round last year. So they have quite a bit of juice at running back, and then they don't have juice anymore at quarterback, which is insane. Jalen Hurts' athletic fall off has been pretty drastic. He's not nearly as explosive as he was, and I think it kind of came with mounting lower body injuries last year. He just doesn't really have it at this point. But listen, Lane Johnson's been playing football for a really long time.
And we keep saying every year they're going to draft his heir. They're going to draft his heir apparent. They're going to draft his heir apparent, and then they never do.
But that might be where I go here, because I don't know if I love. I mean, maybe outside linebacker, but like Sweat's a good player. Again, Brandon Graham has been around for 80,000 years as well. Nolan Smith is. Probably he's not come around yet, really, unfortunately. That's going to be a big swing and a miss from me. But they have a little bit of depth and a little bit of talent there. The middle of that defense is talented. And so I'm really looking at the offensive side of the ball. I'm really looking at Lane Johnson's eventual replacement. And when we look at that, I think we are looking at somebody like Savai and I coming in, maybe even sitting for a year behind Lane Johnson and learning, and then coming in for him after next season, maybe, or if he has to come in for an injury, because for as good as Lane Johnson has been, injuries have been a little bit of a burden on his career over his time as a pro. So I'm going to go with Savai and I here. I love his tenacity. If he can kind of figure out how to play within himself a little bit more, that run game could be really dangerous.
I agree. I was considering him here with Houston. But I think actually Houston's offensive line has been better than, like, Kenyon Green's kind of come around finally, and Shaq Mason is. But my thing is, Tyus Howard and Shaq Mason are a little bit. Oh, man. Outside of Nico Collins, if you look at that wide receiver room, Stephon Diggs is a free agent after the season. Tank Dell hasn't really returned to form after his offseason incident where he was unfortunately shot. I even think running back is an issue for him. I mean, Cam Akers and Dario Gunbowale are getting the bulk of the practice right now. And Joe Mixon has an out in his contract, and I don't see any way they don't cut him after the season. So, but again, Janty's off the board, and you can make a case. Is there any running back worth taking right now outside of Janty? And I could do that. That would be fun. That would be a fun fit, actually. I might do that. We'll come back to that. Let me see Taylor a little bit more here. I think their corners are fine. Safeties are fine. They could go interior defensive line here. They've got a bunch of older vets along their interior defensive line. So, and this could be a Kenneth Grant landing spot here or a Deion Walker landing spot here. But I kind of want to be fun and just load up offensively, because I think D'Amico Ryans has proven he can get good interior play out of aging vets, and I think they'll probably just continue to allocate minimal funds to the interior defensive line and keep doing that. Let's go with the fun fit and just load up on offense. Let's go Omarion Hampton.
Interesting.
Let's go Omarion Hampton.
Interesting. All right.
They're like Bobby Slowick is doing a pretty good job of incorporating a lot of power run. The same way McVay has been doing, you know, they've really gone off script. McVay specifically. I mean, they still do a lot of outside zone and San Fran, but a lot of these zone specific offensive coordinators are finding a lot of success maneuvering a lot in power. I think Omarion is having an excellent year in North Carolina, and I think that would be a heck of a fit with that offense.
Moving on to the Minnesota Vikings. This is an interesting one. A really good football team right now. Really, really playing well. I don't know where to go here because they did draft Dallas Turner in the first round. Andrew Van Ginkle's there. Like, Jonathan Grenard's a good player. I don't know if edge is really a spot here. Safety could be a spot, but again, not really a safety that we want to take here. Mm-hmm. Nickel, but do we want to draft a nickel this high? It's a tough place to pick here. Wide receiver, they could go wide receiver three, but then you're looking at wide receiver three in the first round. I think that if they continue to play the way that they're playing here, they might be able to get away with a bit of a luxury pick. Aaron Jones is older. I don't like what they have behind him in that room. I loved and have loved Nicholas Singleton for a long time.
Wow. Okay.
And so that is where I am going with this pick. Penn State running back, Nicholas Singleton.
Three running backs
in the first round.
Dang.
2025 football, baby. We are going full circle.
I love it. All right, Lions.
We did just have two running backs go in the top 12 the other year. So
that's true. That's true. The Lions. So they kind of solved their cornerback issue in a pinch there after the Cam Sutton situation. And then corner was a big need for them last offseason, but Terrion's been fine. Carlton Davis trade was an excellent pickup there. I like Amik Robertson a lot too. So I'm not sure corner is the situation we want to go with here. Jack Campbell's come along for them this year too, really nicely. I think you got to go edge here because Josh Pascal's kind of their opposite guy of Aiden Hutchinson. And even wide receiver, we talked about being a huge thing, but Jameson Williams has become a freaking playmaker for them this year. He's come along really nicely. And again, we're talking about the wide receivers on the board here, and Emeka Egbuka and Amon-Ra St. Brown would run the exact same route tree. The exact same route tree. And so I don't think that's a fit at all. I really think this is defensive line or bust for them here. Aleem McNeil, that's your dude from 2021. You love Aleem McNeil. Mm-hmm. But I think they're looking at edge here opposite Aiden. I don't love the players on the board, to be completely honest. Left at edge. But, if we're talking about a big end and we're talking about like the Josh Pascal body type.
Do it.
This might be LT Overton. This might be LT Overton music right here, baby. Especially to kick inside as well. Like this is LT Overton music in Detroit. So I'm going to go LT Overton to Detroit right there.
All right. There we go. We are to the Baltimore Ravens interior offensive line. Right guard immediately. What offensive tackle can I take to play right guard for them? Or I could just go Tyler Booker.
You could go Tyler Booker. I would say Ursary would be the offensive tackle if you're going to go offensive tackle there.
Yeah, me too. That's what I would say. I thought about offensive tackle as well. But I think I'm going to go guard here. I think I'm going to go with Booker and just call it a day.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right, so now that takes us to the 49ers. Another team that's kind of struggling on paper beyond 2020.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Especially right tackle. Massive. I mean, it's an issue for them right now. They might make a move for a right tackle at the deadline, I think, is not out of the works. And even looking at left tackle, like, I'm pretty sure Trent Williams, his contract is done after this year, because that's why he was holding out to get the guarantees up in the last year of his deal. No, he's under contract for 2026 as well. So that buys him a little bit of time. But I think offensive tackle is a massive issue. Interior defensive line, they're starting Malik Collins and Jordan Elliott. Don't talk to me about Jordan Elliott. I watched him play for 4 years in Cleveland. Like, I also, their corners are Isaac Yiadom and Charvarius Ward. It's kind of fallen back down to earth after a really good year last year. I mean, corner.
Revel's great. I mean, Revel would be.
Yeah, I think so too. You could even go Denzel Burke if you wanted a guy who didn't have injury history here, but I think Revel would be a great pick here too. Yeah.
Cool.
Let's run it up. I don't love the offensive tackles. I mean, maybe Ursary, but.
The Chiefs. We did it again. We let the Chiefs get exactly what they want. Yeah. This is too easy. They're getting their Travis Kelce replacement.
Yep. Colson Loveland.
Colson Loveland it is. It's just way too easy. These are the full results here. We will go through picks 17 through 32 very quick because I got to get out of here. The 17, the New Orleans Saints, Nick Scorton, edge from Texas A&M. Takario Davis goes 18th to the Washington Commanders. That is cornerback from Arizona. Quarterback from Miami, Cam Ward, goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 19. Landon Jackson, the edge rusher from Arkansas, goes 20th to the Cincinnati Bengals, 21 to the Atlanta Falcons, James Pierce Jr., Tennessee edge rusher, Trey Harris, Ole Miss wide receiver to the Dallas Cowboys, Jalen Milroe goes to the Jets at 23, Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle, Ohio State, goes to Green Bay at 24, Jihad Campbell, linebacker from Alabama at 25 to the Buffalo Bills, 26, Jonas Vaiani, offensive tackle from Arizona, goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, 27th, Omarion Hampton to the Houston Texans, running back from North Carolina. Running back from Penn State, Nicholas Singleton, goes 28th in the Minnesota Vikings. LT Overton, the edge from Alabama, goes 29th to the Detroit Lions. 30th, Tyler Booker, offensive guard from Alabama to the Ravens. Siobhan Rebel, a cornerback, East Carolina to the San Francisco 49ers. And 32nd overall, Colston Loveland, Kansas City Chiefs, tight end from Michigan. They get their Travis Kelce replacement. I love you guys. I have a hard out right now. I have to go. I love you guys. This has been Daft on Draft, pick 17-32. I love you. Goodbye.